Not to be dramatic, but if there is not a coffee in, on, or around my mouth hole in 30 seconds, I'm gonna die.
Hey, does anybody want a coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? Does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
Having conversations about society, one cup at a time. Coffee with R.W.
Un cafecito.
Pour yourself a cup and join us.
Es un cafecito.
Oh, what's going on? So, before I move on, can you guys hear the music with no problem? Were you guys able to hear the intro? Yes, it sounded good. Please let me know now. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I apologize. Anyway, I'm just going to keep going. So, guys, if you guys haven't followed me on Twitter, do it at the Ralph William on Twitter, and download my internet radio station W-ESN, the Epic Strategies Network, on your Google Play Store, or you son of a the Gray, stop it! You're messing me up, bro. For those of you that are listening to this later, the gray area told me that I was muted in the chat, and I took him seriously. Anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in. If you haven't, check out my internet station, download it on the app, or ask your Alexa devices to start WESN live, and she will do so with no problem. All right, so really quick, now that I got the audio going, and I'm going to make you guys listen to this again. Some of you already heard this or heard me rant. So here's the American frontline doctors talking about blood clots in athletes.
Hello, fact finders and truth seekers. This is Dr. Peterson Pierre with America's frontline doctors, bringing you today's frontline flash. So Nelly Korda, who is currently the world's number two ranked golfer and a 2020 Olympic gold medalist, was recently diagnosed with a blood clot. So here's another instance of a high-level young athlete with a blood clot. What's going on? This was practically unheard of until the past 12 months. Well, the main thing that's changed is the mass vaccination. And yes, she was vaccinated. So this is a problem. I mean, we've got all these high-level athletes developing blood clots. And until the past 12 months, this was extremely rare unless you had a predisposing issue. Now, contrary to the current media propaganda that's trying to make it seem as though blood clots are a normal thing in the young and healthy, they're absolutely not. That's just a lie that they're trying to perpetrate to make it seem like it still makes people that always has. And the only thing that's different are the shots. So the shots are all risk and no reward. Just say no.
It's natural environment.
Just say no. Just like the drugs. Anyway, so there is a doctor that I've been looking at, Dr. John McDougall, who I've been looking at since 2010 when I was changing into being more vegan. And he says that blood clots and atherosclerosis and heart attacks are common in young adults, even younger than that, because of the rich Western diet. So this is my theory that I'm going through. The theory that I'm going through, that I'm trying to understand, is that the possibility that it's not the jabs that are causing this, but maybe the jabs are exposing it a lot easier. A lot of people are developing a lot of, there's some cancers like blood clots and heart attacks. So maybe these jabs are exposing it more. But here's Dr. John McDougall explaining atherosclerosis, and even he said it himself that at a young age, he had a heart attack or atherosclerotic blockages. Dr. Lingo.
Hello, I'm Dr. John McDougall. I'm a medical doctor. I take care of real patients. I also run the McDougall program in Santa Rosa, California. One of the common problems that I see in my patients is people who have narrowed arteries to their heart. That's right, the heart arteries, which supply the blood to the muscle of the heart, they get plugged up. They get plugged up through years of atherosclerosis, we call it blockages. And those blockages, we know what causes them. It's a rich Western diet, full of cholesterol and fat, a diet centered around animal foods like chicken, fish, beef, pork, cheese, yeah, various dairy products. These are the foods that make the arteries sick, that injure the arteries, that cause the arteries to have a response of forming atherosclerosis. So after decades, it doesn't have to take a lot of decades. I mean, there are young men in their 20s and 30s that already have significant blockages. But after you get enough blockage, what happens is you get low blood supply to the heart muscle. Well, the answer to that, ask any cardiologist, is to do a catheterization and just pop those little blockages. They do it all day long. Never heard a single cardiologist have this done. Of course, there have been many patients who've been hurt seriously by having it done. Yes, this procedure can be indicated in chronic coronary artery disease. If you have symptoms like severe chest pain, then it might be worthwhile to go in and have those blockages opened up. But the truth of the matter is this surgery, whether it be angioplasty, angioplasty with stents, or coronary artery bypass surgery, has not been shown to save lives. Why? Because it's not those big, long-standing blockages that kill, not that hard atherosclerosis that kills. What kills is a little tiny pustule that pops in the artery that may lie a couple of inches away from or just next to one of those hard fibrous plaques. This little pimple pops and you get a blood clot forming. And that sudden formation of a blood clot due to the rupture of that little tiny volatile plaque, call it a pimple, is what closes down the artery and causes a heart attack. Well, the instrumentation we do, the surgeries, do not address these killing lesions. They address the big, hard, fibrous, calcified plaques. Well, knowing that, if you get into trouble or one of your friends or relatives gets into trouble and you have a chance to sit down and talk to the doctor, look at the doctor, look at that cardiologist right in the eye and say, I have coronary artery disease, chronic heart artery disease, been going on for a long time. You guys have done millions of these. In fact, you do a million a year. You've studied hundreds of thousands of patients who had this procedure done. I'm looking you right in the eye, cardiologist, right in the eye. And I want to ask you, do you have any evidence that doing angioplasty or bypass surgery will reduce my risk of death or improve my quality of life? And if the doctor's honest with you, the doctor will tell you the truth. These surgeries are basically failures when it comes to improving survival. Again, you can relieve symptoms. As a better informed consumer, you can make better choices. I'm Dr. John McDougall. Thank you for listening.
So this was a video that was in 2011. This is way back in the day. Dr. John McDougall did many books, which I picked up, The Starch Solution. And he has a lot of, and there's some free books as well. You can go to Dr. John McDougall. On his website and take a look at all that. I guess it is better to look him in the eye as looking at at his feet. Yeah, BP. I suffer from from boner erosion. Oh man. Yes. We'll get into that a little bit later. So this is a little more recent video of Dr. John McDougall. He's a lot older, but he goes into detail on what are some signs of, you might have some heart issues.
You can get chest pain from the costal chondrocartilage, which is part of the rib cage, and it can be easily inflamed. We call that costal chondritis. The membranes around the heart can get inflamed and you can get pain from that. That's called pericarditis. A heart attack is what you fear, and a heart attack is usually usually experienced as pain in the front of the chest, maybe on the left side a little bit towards the center. And sometimes the pain travels up to the jaw on the left side and into the left arm. And it is a pain that you've never experienced before, usually. And it lasts for hours. And people describe it as if an elephant sat on my chest. But it's not always that way. About 12% of people don't have any chest pain at all. They don't have any signs or symptoms of having a heart attack. So sometimes it's a silent disease. And then there's the problem of angina, which is not a heart attack. It's a matter of having insufficient blood flow to the heart muscle. And the heart muscle hurts when it doesn't get enough blood. Now, the nice thing about angina is it goes away when you rest. Usually it only lasts a few minutes. So we have some very effective anti-anginal medications out there. So let's, if you have chest pain, you might think about whether it's a heart attack or not. One thing I do want to tell you, and I'm going to tell you several times through this presentation, if you have sudden onset of severe chest pain, you need to get to the hospital. Because if the cardiac team can treat you within 90 minutes of the onset of chest pain, or certainly within 6 hours, then they can make a difference. They can preserve heart muscle and maybe save your life. So even though I'm going to give you a message about how intervention by the medical profession doesn't work, there are circumstances where it does work. And that's in an acute emergency situation where you have sudden onset of chest pain. And if you have the fortune of getting into the laboratory, into the theater where they perform this procedure, doctors can make a difference. They can dissolve the blood clot that has recently formed and maybe save your life, certainly save some heart tissue.
So at least there's some good use for hospitals, for emergency use. BP says, I suffer from PMS. Pretty messed up-ish. Yeah. Yeah, man. I get it. I feel like that every day. So these are this is what sucks. When you do, for those of you that are listening to this for the first time, this would be the second time that I've recorded this, because the first time the audio wasn't good and I had to start over. So there are some people in here that are listening to this a second time. But for those of you that are listening to this the first time, it sucks when you do, I think my beginning monologue or my talks were pretty good. Now that I have to repeat it, I feel like it's not good. But anyway, we'll move on. I did my morning, my rituals. Anyway, and I had my lucky mug. Yeah, we'll see what happens. So anyway, continuing on with the presentation. Let me see what we are on time. All right. So, let's see what else he has to say about,
get a value, a cholesterol level. And so based on your cholesterol.
So this is what I was mentioning earlier, for those of you that heard me talk about it, these are some ways that you can figure out about lesions that you have on your heart and your arteries. It's kind of like an indicator that you might have an issue. So he goes into detail on what to look for.
Get a value, a cholesterol level. And so based on your cholesterol level, whether or not you have significant lesions, and those would be lesions, closures of 50% or greater, we call that significant. This is for a man under the age of 40. And the chance of having a significant lesion, let me just give you a few figures. If your cholesterol is under 200, you have a 20% chance of finding lesions on an angiogram. If your cholesterol is, say, 250, you have nearly a 50% chance of finding lesions when they do an autopsy or an angiogram. Now, my high cholesterol was 338 milligrams per deciliter. And at just knowing that, you know, I discovered it when I was in my early 20s that my cholesterol was that high. I would have known if I had this chart that I had over a 90% chance of having significant artery closure, significant atherosclerosis. Well, many of you know my history. I had a massive stroke at age 18. And my blood cholesterol predicted that I was going to have that kind of problem. Or you can also tell whether or not you have disease based on your age. Based on your age, the chance of having significant lesions that are described as moderate or severe increases as you get older. Why? Because you've eaten the Western diet for more years. You know, you put more cholesterol and fat into your artery system. You've done that by eating animal foods. And also other junk doesn't help either. So if you're 28 years old, you've got a 22% chance of finding significant blockages. If you're my age, which is almost 75, you have a 90% chance of having these problems. And that's, of course, people who are eating the Western diet. You know, we're not talking about people who have eaten a healthy diet. Now, even though my cholesterol was at a top of 338 milligrams per deciliter when I was in my early 20s, you know, I've had my cholesterol checked more than a dozen times over the last 15 years. And my cholesterol runs between 137 to 151 milligrams per deciliter. So you could change all that. And even though I had a stroke at 18, and you know, anybody would have predicted that I would have had heart surgery and maybe be dead by my early 30s, I'm still functioning. I'm still doing well. I don't have a bit of chest pain. So I have to assume that my arteries are in darn good shape.
So that's pretty interesting that he would say that. I guess you would have to have your cholesterol checked. And if it's under, I'm assuming 150, then you're pretty good. So the reason why I'm saying this for those that are just joining us is because a lot of these jabs, they're claiming that it's causing blood clots. And I'm trying to look at it in a different, what's up, Caps? I'm trying to look at it in a different way, that maybe it's not the jabs, that, or maybe the jabs are exposing or making underlying conditions worse. Like blood clots and things like that. So I'm trying to see other possibilities and not just follow what others are saying. But John McDougall is saying that people 18 can have heart attacks. There's some young kids that have been exposed to the Western diet at a young age consistently. They're probably going to have issues like a blood clot. And we've seen it. I mean, people who are in America, I mean, no offense, I'm not, but you do see a lot of these unhealthy children walking around, right? They're unhealthy. They're not getting a lot of activity. You know, we've seen the shows on TV. We know what's going on. So these are just things that I'm trying to understand, right? I'm not a full hater of the right or the left. I'm trying to find that middle ground. But I do not want mandatory vaccinations. That's just one thing that I want to make clear. But oh wait, that's not gonna stop the administration. I think I saw a headline where a Supreme Court, I think the fifth Supreme Court or something like that, reversed the decision to block mandatory vaccinations for federal employees. So, hey, we need to get on that. That needs to be corrected. Because just like all these other narratives are happening, they're still finagling the courts and we're not really paying attention. So we need to be diligent about these Supreme Courts these cases, because they're gonna start making this mandatory in the future, where they can change laws whenever they want. But I digress. Let's go back to the presentation.
Is that this is a disease of all the arteries throughout the body, not just the heart. And we have over 60,000.
So this is what I was saying earlier about blockages in the arteries leads to different kinds of ailments that we have when it comes to hearing problems, vision problems, back problems. This one underlying thing may be the cause for a lot of different ailments, which could be the reason for a lot of the adverse effects. But we'll see. Let's see. What do you guys think? Let's see.
Is that this is a disease of all the arteries throughout the body, not just the heart. And we have over 60,000 miles of arteries and blood vessels in the body. And we name the disease based upon the arteries that are closed, what organ is affected. For example, if you close the blood vessel system, the arteries to the eye, the most sensitive seeing part of the eye is the macula, and you get macular degeneration. Macular degeneration is the most common cause of blindness in adults in Western countries. If you close the arteries to the ears, you get hearing loss. You also get tinnitus and you get dizziness because there's one artery that goes to your inner ear. And if that's compromised, then you develop these kinds of problems. Strokes. I mentioned to you that I had a stroke when I was 18 years old. That happens when you close the arteries to the brain. Close the arteries to the heart and you have a heart attack. You close the arteries that feed large blood vessels and you have aneurysms. John Ritter, the TV star, he had an aneurysm. Of course, he got national attention because of it. You close the arteries to the kidneys and you have kidney failure. To the bowel and you get a bowel infarct. If you close the arteries to the spine, you develop degenerative disc disease. The spine is made up of bones, and between the bones are discs, they're cushions, and they're supplied by various arteries. They get their nutrients, their oxygen, and so on, through an indirect system. And if you end up having a back pain, what this can be related to is the fact that you're having angina or low blood supply to the back. This is a common cause. We have autopsy studies that show this. To get degenerative disc disease, what happens is the blood supply to the spine gets compromised severely, and the discs degenerate. I mean, if you go to the doctor with a ruptured disc, and you ask, "Doc, what caused my ruptured disc?" The doctor says, "It was caused by degenerative disc disease." And you should be asking, "Hey, Doc, what made my disc degenerate?" Well, what caused the disc to degenerate to the point where you took a step or made a turn? You didn't lift up a piano or a Volkswagen to do it. You just made a normal motion. And the discs were so weak that they ruptured. And that's due to low blood supply to the spine. You close the arteries to the legs and you develop pain when you walk. It's called intermittent claudication. When the arteries to the legs close down very severely, you develop gangrene. Now, here's something that will cause you to have attention to what I'm talking about. And that is you close the arteries to the penis and you become impotent. That's the most common cause of impotence. And, what happens is the penis becomes erect because of the filling of a spongy material. And when you compromise the arteries, the spongy material doesn't fill. You don't get an erection.
Oh! So those are just some things that we need to go through when it comes to artery blockages. But on that note, now let us take a brief break. We'll be right back. You're talking and listening to Coffee with RW.
CaresNone.com. It's a clothing line. It's a lifestyle. Go to CaresNone.com. Check out their clothing line. It's fantastic. Use code DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. That's DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. CaresNone.com.
Oh, yeah.
Are you uncertain about what's going on in your life? Or maybe you're trying to help someone else out fix theirs, then I recommend you go to wholeeshift.com. That's wholeeshift.com. W-H-O-L-E, another E, S-H-I-F-T.com. And get yourself a reading from Poetic.
She's a Reiki healer and is very experienced in this area. So make sure to go to holeeshift.com, get yourself a reading today, or you can get it as a gift card and give it to someone who might need it. That's holeeshift.com. Let them know Ralph William sent you. That's holeeshift.com.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
Coffee with RW.
Oh, man. Yes. Welcome, everybody. This is Coffee with RW. So I'm going through this little short presentation. Now, of course, you can find everything in the description box of the podcast. If you want to go check out this presentation on YouTube, you can. The link is in the description box below. Dr. John McDougall. And of course, you can go to his website if you are looking into trying to figure out a starch-based diet if it's right for you. So he goes into detail on what you can do. Not really details, but the underlying thing is pretty common. Eliminate the things that are causing the damage. But he also tells you, like, you know, there are some times that you can use medication for certain things, right?
So how do you reverse this disease? Well, you reverse it by first identifying the cause. And people say this is a result of modern living. No, it's not, ladies and gentlemen. If you look at autopsies of mummies buried in their pyramids 3,000-4,000 years ago, and they do autopsies on them, or these days they do CAT scans on their bodies, what you find is extensive atherosclerosis in the kings and queens, the priests and priestesses. And in fact, one major study, what they showed when they could identify artery parts is that half of them had evidence of atherosclerosis in their heart arteries, their leg arteries, and the brain arteries, and so on. The kings and queens and aristocrats, they ate the rich food. There's even stories about how the priests would eat the offerings that were put on the statues. And sometimes they'd even take the offerings home to their family before the ceremonies and eat them. All kinds of diseases of eating rich food are present 3,000-4,000 years ago. Now, people didn't smoke then. They got lots of exercise and plenty of sunshine. The only thing that was different was the food that they ate. The people who built the pyramids lived on starch-based diets. And so it is with other times in history. You know the classic story of kings and queens, of aristocrats. They ate the rich food. You know, the starches were grown by the farm workers, the corn and the beans and the rice and the potatoes. And that was the diet of the workers. But what the aristocrats decided that they were going to do is they weren't going to eat this plant food directly. They were going to filter it through sheep and cows and pigs first, and then they'd eat those animals. And you know this. You know this. Rich foods make people sick. They have then. They do now. The difference between then and now is that then there are only a few aristocrats. Now half the population of planet Earth eats like kings and queens. Dairy Queen, Burger King, Imperial Margarine. They don't even disguise it. So by wealth, people end up eating the rich American diet. But also by necessity of environments. For example, the Inuit Eskimo. If you take a look at autopsies done on Inuit Eskimos, in this particular case, what they're looking at is two women who were buried under an ice floe 5 centuries ago. One was estimated to be in her 20s, the other in her 40s. And what they found was they found that they had extensive atherosclerosis and severe osteoporosis from their diet of fish and mammals, you know, whales and seals and so on. They didn't smoke. You know, they they had lots of stresses in their lives, but that.
So BP in the chat says, the people who built the pyramids didn't live longer. They just felt that way because they were building those damn pyramids. Yes. Yes, BP. Yes. Okay. So you guys are talking to something else in the chat. Yeah. So believe me, guys, I know this might be cringe to a lot of people out there. And I understand my audience. I get it. I'm not trying to push no vegan agenda to you guys. I'm just trying to make things make sense to me, right? There might be some underlying things that need to be addressed. That maybe it's not, I don't like the jabs. Still, I don't like them. They do cause blood clots, but I don't know if that's, if they're exposing the blood clots that people already have from the diet that they're consuming. And like I mentioned earlier, is that these professional athletes who are in tip-top shape are getting blood clots. So either, and there are some professional athletes that adopt a ketogenic diet, a heavy meat-based diet, a high cholesterol diet, thinking that it's good for performance. I don't think so, but I'm not an athlete. They are, but that doesn't eliminate the blood clot issues, right? It's probably going to make it worse. So this is why I'm bringing this up. But let me break the monotony. We'll go back into the Chris Giraffe clip that I have, just to break the monotony on that. This is an article that I found about him pretty much saying, hey, why are we saying, because you're losing a little bit of hair, that's considered your disability? Here's the article.
Gervais has hit out at people who have called Jada Pinkett Smith's alopecia disability as he waiting on Will Smith's divisive Oscar slap. The comedian, 60, said Chris Rock's joke about Jada's alopecia wasn't bad and described it as the tamest joke he would have told as he spoke during a live Q&A session on Twitter. He has been vocal in criticizing Will, 53, for storming on stage during the 94th Academy Awards and slapping Chris after the stand-up comedian made a joke about his wife's shaved head, comparing her to G.I. Jane. The Office star went on to insist that Chris's comment wasn't bad as he condemned Will for slapping the Oscars host for making a joke.
You don't hit someone over a joke, right? However bad it is, and it wasn't bad. That was like the tamest joke I would have ever told. Jesus. And all these people, they know it was joking about... Someone said it was joking about her disability. Well, I'm going a bit thin, so I'm disabled. That means I can park right up next to Tesco's now. And I'm fat. That's a disease, isn't it? I'm fat and balding. I am.
That's funny. No, that's funny. Yeah, man, he's funny too, man. Even though he's an atheist, I'm not, you know, he's still a good comedian. And like I mentioned before, this sucks, man. I hate when I have to repeat myself. He did as much as I don't like giving the Oscars any type of attention. Fortunately enough, I did see a clip of Ricky laying in on these people at the Oscars, like really laid on him. And he's a comedian and he did a great job. He even touched upon Epstein and everybody was like, Oh, Dave, that's crazy stuff, man. Golden Globes. Is that what that was? I don't know. Whatever. The Oscars. Yeah, I have that clip. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's funny. It's funny. He really laid in on him. And nobody ran up to slap him in the face, right? I saw Tom Hanks out there. Hey, what's that conspiracy theory that Tom Hanks like had some guy killed or something like that? Thrown off of overpass and he got hit by a car or something? Some Hollywood gentleman that was trying to expose pedophilia or something like that and in the Hollywood industry and getting a call or a message from Tom Hanks. I don't know. Stein? Is that his name? Steen? Stein? Well, anyway. That was gold. So as much as I don't want to give them any more publicity because I hate the Oscars, I hate all that stuff, Ricky laid in on him. That was good. Now, Chris, on the other hand, and I'm going to mention this because I think it needs to be repeated. Now, Chris Rock did a very lame joke. It's like a light joke. It's like a little joke that you would say in like, you know, the dinner table, you know, just to get a little chuckle. But nothing too serious. Ralphie, do you have the... Oh, shut up, Man Cave. I'll shut this down again. Made me shut it down before. Do you have a crackle? He keeps bothering me with my sound. Anyway, so Chris Rock said a lame joke about Jada. And Will Smith walked up and smacked him. So there's two elements here. A lot of these keyboard warriors come out and they like to yap their mouth on social media. Now, if they was to say half of the things that they put on social media to somebody in real life, like in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, or like Newark, New Jersey, or Camden, New Jersey, right? Or the Bronx, New York, Harlem, anywhere. I think they would have gotten way worse than a smack, right? Just by saying something, you know, half of what people say on the internet. So when you and I said this before, back in the day, you can't say things like that because you would get checked really quick from somebody around the neighborhood. So on the other hand, Will Smith got a little bit of hood. He got a little hood in a professional setting. He wasn't aware of his surroundings. So he went up and like, all right, this guy has to feel the consequences of his actions to a joke that, you know, can get a little chuckle, but it was not that bad. I've heard way worse things said in Milt Dog's 2020 show. Said about Milt Dog. And, you know, And Will Smith walks up and smacks some guy across his face. So that's two different things of looking at it. One, Lou Rock said this earlier in the chat on the previous stream. Why didn't he smack the guy that his wife was sleeping with? If he's hood, why didn't he go and smack that guy? But he chose the less, I'm not trying to talk down about Chris Rock, but you know, the less aggressive, the less bigger of the two. I don't know who the other guy is, but, and I'm going to pick on this guy because I know he ain't going to do anything. Smack him instead of the guy that was sleeping with his wife. Come on now. He had to keep his pimp hand strong, says BP. Yes. Yes. Man Cave says he can't walk up to stage and smack someone, Ralph. I know that. I'm saying this, like, you know the environment you're getting into, right? If you're going into a comedy club in New York or wherever, UK, wherever you're at, you can't go into a comedy club and sit in the front row, right? With a bright green suit and expect the comedian not to pick on you. And then once he says something, you walk up and smack him, and you jump on the stage and smack him across the face. You know what you're getting into. If you're there and you heard, and I think Chris Rock even said worse things before that about everybody else in the audience, right? So obviously that was funny for him to hear Chris Rock talk about everybody else. But anyway, that's enough I want to give them. But I just want to say kudos to Gervais for putting that out there. Oh, and look, but Will Smith got his Oscar. Good job, Will. Good job. All right, moving on. Let's get back to this. Let's get back, because I like to upset you people. What better way to get you upset than talk about your diet? Did you hear what Jim Carrey said? I've heard a clip of what Jim Carrey said. I don't remember it exact. I don't know if he was talking bad about Will Smith. I didn't. I don't remember, to be honest with you, but I know I saw it, but I don't remember what he said. Well, Jim Carrey's I don't know how he is now, but last thing I heard, he was a little cuckoo. You know, he's a little cuckoo. Want to upset us? Tell us to lay off the coffee. Yes, BP. Yes, that would upset me too. Unfortunately, I think coffee prices are going to be going up, so I might have to cut down on my coffee consumption. So if you see a more aggressive, irritable Ralph William, then you'll know why. That's when you know prices are too high. But yeah, I might have to go search for that clip with Jim Carrey. All right, let's continue on with Dr. John McDougall. And this will be over soon, don't worry. I think he's going to be talking about the types of medication that are prescribed for people with heart problems.
Well, there have been four major studies related to heart disease looking at low.
Okay, hold on. So I wanted to set this up. This is a clip of him talking about, for those that may have heart issues or diabetes, they recommend a low carb, high fat diet, which is going to cause more problems than actual cure.
Well, there have been four major studies related to heart disease looking at low carbohydrate diets, and this is it, folks. You can look them up. Four major studies show that eating these kinds of diets increases your risk of dying and dying of heart disease. So that's not how you want to approach the problem. The way you want to approach the problem is eating the diet designed for human beings, which is a starch-based diet. You know, like the people of Central America used to eat, the Incas and the Mayans, people of the corn.
Okay.
Or the people of the Andes, the Incas, who lived on potatoes and quinoa. Or the people from the Middle East, Egypt, Iran, Iraq. That was known as the breadbasket of the world. They ate bread, wheat, and barley. Or when you think of the places of Asia, what do you think about it? People, Asians eating? Their diet's rice. Up until 1980, when they started watching CNN News and learned about the American way. And now, of course, people in China are developing obesity and diabetes at a similar rate to what we have in the United States. That's the diet that you need to eat. Eat is the diet for human beings, the ones that we've eaten through most of our existence.
Yeah, man, that's some good stuff right there. Let's continue on. I want to drive this home and move on.
The medications are of some benefit in people who are really sick. Yeah, not in people who don't have symptoms of heart disease, not in people who haven't had a heart attack or a stroke or heart surgery. There's no benefit there, no reasonable benefit of taking statin drugs. It's only if people have already declared themselves as being sick, have already been in trouble. Then there's a tiny benefit. For primary prevention, which is in people who have no known disease, 98% of people saw no benefit. Whereas those who had already had a heart attack or heart surgery, in other words, this is secondary prevention, the results were statistically significant, yes. In this case, 96% showed no benefit and only 4% showed benefit. Not much, folks. These medications are oversold to you. They're not the answer to the problem because they're not the cause of the problem. But they're very profitable. Also, aspirin. Aspirin helps the clot from forming. You know, it thins the blood. And so when a plaque ruptures, if you have aspirin on board, it's less likely to form a clot, which closes off the artery, which kills the heart muscle and often the patient. But as you heard October of 2021, the news, the headline news was that aspirin should not be used in the general population. Only in people who are severely ill does it show benefits. I was writing about this back in 2010. I was telling you about the limits of statin drugs in an article I wrote in 2013. This is old information, but it just doesn't get popular. Why? You know why? There's no profit.
Yes, that is true. The gray area says meat crosses seasons. Veggies and fruits are seasonal. Due to technology, we can have bananas in winter. Yeah, bro. There should be no I don't know. That's a good point that we're able to have more fruits and vegetables. I'm just saying that I don't know if I mentioned it on this stream or the one before that. There's a lot of different food. There's a lot of food now that we couldn't have gotten for certain seasons, right? So if you're going to do like some prepping work, you would probably, and it's just talking in more efficiency. To be more efficient, it's easier to store a lot of these healthier foods like grains, potatoes, vegetables, fruits. They last longer. Like, I don't know how long you can leave frozen meat in the fridge. Like, I asked Alexa the other day, how long can you leave a frozen, how long can you leave meat in the freezer before you have an issue? It told me like 2 months is for the optimal freshness. You can't really have 2 months. You can't really have a year worth of meat in the freezer, right? So it might give some small satisfaction at the moment. Yeah, I get it. I understand. I'm not here to try and push like, hey, you don't eat meat. But I'm just trying to balance out that, hey, maybe you just need to have a little more fruits and vegetables in your diet, you know, to survive, you know, whatever is going to happen. The Gray says, you know what goes good with potatoes? Steak. Actually, yeah, it does. No, it does. Vacuum seal it. Does it still, is it still keep it pure? I don't know. I've never done that with meat. Might have to find a study or something that, maybe it does. Would you feel safe taking out a piece of steak that you had over a year and a half ago and cooking it up? Would you feel safe eating that? I mean, I hope. I hope it's good. I don't know. And just for practicality's sake, storage space. You can store, I'm assuming, more grains and beans, you know, in a tight little spot, whereas meat might take up a lot more space. I don't know. We'll see. Let's move on.
And so how do I approach my patients who have heart disease? Well, strict diet, and we teach this. We teach this now by a telemedicine, telehealth program. that I encourage you to look into. And I give sufficient statin medication to reduce the cholesterol to 150 milligrams per deciliter or less. And I'll give a baby aspirin, but only to people who have declared themselves as being ill. And maybe these medications do a little bit of good, but I'm not going to throw the baby out with the washwater. I'm a trained medical doctor. You know, I've learned these things about the benefits and risks of medications and treatments. And, you know, I'm going to offer patients the advantage of what I learned through my traditional medical training as a board-certified internist who's taken care of over 12,000 patients over the last half a century. Yeah, I'm not going to deprive you of what I consider good medical care. If it works, it works. But I also know about the food. That's what I've studied for 44 years is the food. Diet therapy is caused. And I'm going to prescribe this for you because that's where the benefit is. It's in fixing the cause. There are several books that I've written about heart disease, and I
BP says, I hope he doesn't throw away the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah. Yeah. I know China likes to do that. Is that too much? Sorry. Let's see. That's only if you have more than one. So the gray area says, if I ever want more vegetarian, I'd still eat eggs. If I ever went vegetarian, that's not meat murder or whatever. Hey, bro, I'm not here to tell you like you can't eat meat or anything. Just to have a healthier body, bro. Come on, you're a military fighting man. You should know you need to have a healthy body to go. When you need to go on a moment's notice, you have to be in tip-top shape. Because, people that run on rice, they can run on rice for a while. I smoke cigars and drink whiskey. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's awesome, though. I want to try that. I want to try smoking a Cuban cigar. I want to, I think I talked about this with Fair Use. Maybe one of these days we're going to go to because I stopped smoking since cigarettes in 2007. I think it's 2007. I'm not sure. So, but I do want to have a cigar just to feel gentlemanly. And, but hey, who needs a good fighting body when you have a big gun? War didn't kill me. Don't care about diets. You have to work. I'm sorry. You have to work out and move, Ralph. That's true. Diet is nothing without exercise. You might have a point there, DeGray. You might have a point. You might have a point. All right. So we got that out the way. So I'm just trying to have a link in between the jabs and blood clots and diet, just to see the other side of the tracks. Of course, Lou Rock says the best exercise is sex. Probably. I mean, two minutes of exercise isn't really enough. Anyway, so let's go move on. All right, let's see. I had this clip here. I forgot what order this is. Let me see.
An expansive and multifaceted storm system is forecast to
Okay, so this is weather. I have a weather article here that I wanted to play, but I don't know. Damn, Ralph, you need more training. Yeah. Yes, Heineken. Yes, Lou Rock. I'll get into the weather a little later. Let me see what else I got here.
Pennsylvania man is facing charges after he allegedly posted anti-Biden stickers on a gas pump. Thomas Richard Glazewski, 54, of Manor Township was charged with resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, harassment, and criminal mischief The incident was captured on video by Aaron Phillips, who recorded the arrest, where Glazewski can be heard yelling expletives and "I did that. I did that. That's what I did," pointing to anti-Biden stickers at the pump. Reports and documents say Glazewski was upset about the price of gas and President Joe Biden. A police complaint said Glazewski had to be placed in the police vehicle by force.
So, congratulations to that Pennsylvania, my home state, Pennsylvania, a guy who got arrested because he put a sticker of Biden on the gas pump. I did that. So, I think that was pretty cool, man. I mean, unfortunately, I don't know if he got arrested because of that or he was just irate. But that does, please, people, if you're one of those that are doing that, don't let this story hinder you from doing it. Keep doing it. Keep putting those pictures up on gas pumps. Let everyone know that this administration is blowing it with gas prices. Speaking of gas prices, or speaking of prices in general, if you guys, I keep forgetting which stream I said this on. I don't know if I said this already, but check out my Discord. I put a picture up of organic, 1 gallon organic milk at a giant supermarket. It's at $8.99. $8.99. So you have the option of buying 2 gallons of gas or milk for your family. Gas, milk. I don't know. It's crazy. BP says, was it at a Sheetz or a Wawa? The gas station? I don't know. I might have to check. Like I said, if you, what's up, DMAC? All the articles are in the description box below the podcast. So if you want to go double check or go back and read all the clips and everything is in the description box below. Well, how are we on time? Is it time for another break? Yes, it is. All right, guys. I want to say thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I greatly appreciate your time. We'll be right back with more Coffee with RW.
CaresNone.com. It's a clothing line. It's a lifestyle. Go to CaresNone.com. Check out their clothing line. It's fantastic. Use code DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. That's DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. CaresNone.com.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, are you looking for a company that provides welding services? You need to create a container home? Then look no further. Go check out HernandezMobileWelding.com. That's HernandezMobileWelding.com, a licensed and insured welding company that is located in the Florida area. Make sure to give them a call at 954-347-4071. That's 954-347-4071. They are based out of Florida for all your welding needs. That's 954-347-4071. Hernandez Mobile Welding.
Having conversations about society, one cup at a time. Coffee with RW. Pour yourself a cup and join us.
Oh boy. Yes. Mr. A says to DeGray, I'll buy the cow if you take care of it and send me milk weekly. Deal. Yeah, I forget, DeGray. I think he had like a, I don't know if it's a small farm, but you somewhat have a farm, right, DeGray? Good job, man. Being self-sufficient, that's really good. There needs to be, I'm sure there's a podcast out there of people that are in city area that can be as self-sufficient as someone in a rural area. So I hope that's feasible. What's up, ZG? How are you, ZG? Can you make a more legible username? Not room for a cow, But I'll make it. Yes. But I'll make it work. Yes. All right. So let me see what other clips I have. So I have, I think this is the one with a news clip of this mental development professional talking about children and masks. Let's see.
Shanghai's got.
Oh, no, that's Shanghai. Oh, well, let's play this. Here's an article about COVID, and they're not letting that thing go. Shanghai is on lockdown. I think I saw a clip of drones being flown around telling people to stay home. I think there was a translation saying, fight the need for freedom and stay in your homes. It's pretty crazy.
Shanghai's government on Wednesday urged local authorities to use a heavier hand when enforcing the city's anti-Chinese coronavirus measures, calling for the implementation of a firmer attitude and swifter actions to combat Shanghai's latest epidemic of the disease, the state-run Global Times reported. Top authorities in Shanghai called for a firmer attitude, more thorough measures and swifter actions in the battle against the faster and highly transmissible variant at a meeting held on Wednesday morning, April 5. According to the publication, Shanghai Communist Party Chief Li Qiang vowed to speed up the process of collecting, sending, checking, reporting and verifying samples. We must act as fast as we can to catch up with the positive cases and locate the infected people, he said, as quoted by the Global Times. The newspaper further revealed Shanghai's government has been gearing up to build makeshift hospitals and collective quarantine centers while vowing to take stronger measures to make sure sufficient daily supplies are available to the metropolis residents.
So COVID is still a thing over there. They're not letting people forget. They're doing the same thing here with Fauci saying, don't get too comfortable because we don't know what's going to happen. So they might be saving another outbreak or another lockdown for maybe later on, or maybe around September, you know, right before the elections. Because, you know, mail-in ballots were working great the first time around. Lou Rock says, I agree. Sometimes it could just come back. Yeah. It could just come back around a perfect time, you know, when people have to go out and actually vote for these people. Anyway, let's continue on. Oh, Daddy Hasselhoff, I'm sorry. How are you, sir? How's parent life? How's parent life treating you? Yes, a perfect time to F us. Yes, fantastic. Very good, Daddy Hasselhoff. Very good. All right, let's continue on. Let's see. Is this the kid clip?
Jacqueline T.
Yes. So this is a news clip from a. Just listen. Kids with masks. Is it really working? I don't know.
Jacqueline T says during this pandemic, her speech therapy clinic has seen an enormous shift in the ages of their patients. Before the pandemic, only 5% of patients were babies and toddlers. Today, it has soared to 20%. Many parents calling it COVID delayed.
We've seen a 364% increase in patient referrals of babies and toddlers from pediatricians and parents.
And they are children that are having a difficult time speaking.
Maybe start learning how to speak by reading lips as young as 8 months. So what happens when lips and faces are covered up by masks? Well, therapists say for some kids, they can work around the mask and still learn to speak perfectly fine. But for others, it can cause speech delays.
There's no research out there yet to say that this could be causing speech and language delays, but most definitely it's, I'm sure, a factor. It's very important kids do see your face to learn, so they're watching your mouth.
That's orange. Can you say orange?
Orange.
That was a good try.
Brianna Gay is raising 5 children, but it's her youngest who needs therapy.
It definitely makes a difference when the world you're growing up in, you can't interact with people and their face. That's super important to babies. So
we're seeing a lot of things that look just like autism. They're not making any word attempts and not communicating at all with their family.
So yeah, that's a thing. And since Daddy Hasselhoff is a new daddy, I hope he's taking that into consideration. You know, let them see your face, bro. Let her see your face. If y'all like booze, try what? Dickens cider. What? Says the gray area. Dickens cider. All right. Check out Dickens cider. It's, oh, you son of. Oh my God. You, man, you, area. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I went pretty good. I went a good hour, 5 minutes without that. Yeah. I should have paid attention. Yes. Yes. Yes, Mr. A. I am. all right, moving on. That's beautiful. Thank you. Always the comedic genius. Let's continue on. Let's see what I have here.
The U.S. government.
All right, so still think that the United States government has your best intentions? Well, let's see. Maybe they have a good point. I don't know. But apparently, alternative treatments for this new strain, forget about getting it, because they just removed monoclonal antibody treatments, I believe, in all states of the United States. So you better get healthy soon and stock up on some other things, because, you know, they're not going to help you.
The U.S. government on April 5th immediately halted all shipments of a COVID-19 treatment to states and ordered healthcare providers not to use the drug. The actions were taken because of the increasing prevalence of BA2, the subvariant of Omicron, which is a variant of the CCP virus. The virus causes COVID-19. Data so far indicate that the monoclonal antibody called sotrovimab doesn't work against BA2, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA. Regulators initially told doctors in 8 states on March 27 to stop administering sotrovimab to COVID-19 patients. Several days later, the FDA expanded the action, which essentially revokes the emergency use authorization granted in 2021, to 14 additional states. With the April 5th move, the monoclonal therapy is no longer authorized to treat COVID-19 in any U.S. region due to increases in the proportion of COVID-19 cases caused by the Omicron BA2 subvariant. The FDA said in a statement, the regulator is relying on estimates from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which pegs BA2 as causing the majority of COVID-19 cases in all regions of the country. According to pseudovirus testing performed by the FDA, sotrovimab worked about 16 times less well against BA2. As a result, it's unlikely that the authorized dose is effective against the subvariant, the FDA told healthcare providers in a recently updated fact sheet. After the FDA's update, the Department of Health and Human Services announced it was stopping all shipments of sotrovimab. Some 16,600 doses were allocated this week, down from over 50,000 per week in the weeks before BA2 was pegged as causing a majority of cases in some regions. Providers should turn to the remdesivir or Paxlovid treatments from Gilead Sciences and Pfizer, respectively, according to the COVID-19 Treatment Guidelines Panel. In situations where neither are available, providers should use bebtelovimab, a monoclonal from Eli Lilly, or Merck's molnupiravir, the panel said. GlaxoSmithKline and Vir Biotechnology, which makes sotrovimab, didn't respond to requests for comment. The companies have said data they generated suggested the drug retained neutralizing activity against BA2. After the FDA ordered providers in some states to stop using the drug, the companies said they were preparing a package of data in support of a higher dose of sotrovimab for the Omicron BA2 subvariant and will be sharing these data with regulatory and health authorities around the world for discussion.
So they're going to be removing these monoclonal antibodies, but they're going to let other pharmaceuticals, you know, push what they got. So be prepared. And the gray, if you pull that off, man, power to you. Speaking of, for those of you that are listening, please check out the Old Man's Podcast with Dana, Joe, and Eric Kirk. You can find them on podcasting platforms and on the WESN Epic Strategies Network. If you download our mobile app or ask your Alexa devices and you can tune in, you can listen to them every day at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. They are the most consistent morning show on the Podbeam and on WESN. So make sure to go check them out every day at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on WESN, the Epic Strategies Network. Or if you want to catch them even earlier, then go download the Podbean app and check them out every day, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Podbeam Live. Or what is it? 7 p.m. Pacific Time. All right. So that's a good one, DeGray. You got me good. We'll see if you can pull that off. let's see. All right, this is kind of long though. I don't know. All right, so this is for the people in the the middle of the country, little West Coast. There's a winter storm coming. Excuse me, next week. So here's an article that I got just to give you some weather. About some heavy storms covering, the only thing that I remember is it's Colorado area. So if you're in that area, maybe some other states, well, it'll go into detail. Prepare accordingly because it's coming next week.
Pennsylvania, man.
No.
Pennsylvania.
No, not Pennsylvania. The other one. Sorry.
An expansive and multifaceted storm system is forecast to strengthen rapidly as it travels from the Rockies to the Great Plains next week. And AccuWeather meteorologists say it could result in a 5-day stretch of threatening severe weather as well as a robust snowstorm that could produce dangerous blizzard conditions. Some locations over the north-central United States may be buried under feet of snow, while a severe weather outbreak is destined to unfold and may stretch from the Gulf Coast to locations as far north as the Great Lakes. Cold air diving into the western U.S. will collide with surging warmth and more humid air in the eastern states and set the stage for a high-impact storm in between. According to AccuWeather meteorologist Brandon Buckingham, numerous disruptions to travel and shipping efforts are likely with the potential for power outages as a result of rain, thunderstorms, wind and snow from the unfolding and strengthening storm next week over the middle of the nation. Buckingham added, California, West Coast to experience storms, mild effects, much cooler air will plunge southward in the west starting later this weekend and hang around into next week. As this happens, the storm, currently moving over the open Pacific, will make landfall along the coasts of Oregon and Northern California Sunday night and swing inland. Areas of low elevation rain will fall with several inches of mountain snow in the northwest. Since the storm will still be relatively weak over the western third of the U.S. compared to its intensity as it grows stronger over the northern plains, precipitation may be unremarkable. Rain is forecast for lower elevations while snow showers could occur in the mountains in Southern California and other parts of the southwest from Monday to Tuesday. Some of the showers can turn gusty with thunder, lightning, and even hail in some cases for San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego. Forecasters say the rain or mountain snow in the southwest is not likely to have a significant impact on seasonal totals and the long-term drought. Gusty winds can kick up dust and raise the risk of wildfires in locations where rain does not fall. Feet of snow, blizzard may unfold from Rockies to Northern Plains as the storm pivots across the interior west from Monday to Tuesday.
So be prepared, people over there, and keep your ears out on the on some storms happening. Thank you for liking the show, D-Mac. I appreciate it. So I'm wondering, how are you, Irene? I think that's how you say that name, right? How are you? So, guys, if you're new here, hit that follow button and make sure to check me out on other podcasting platforms. If you don't use Podbeam, you can find me on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But even more so, you can download the Epic Strategies Network and tune in every morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, on the WESN Epic Strategies Network. And if you want to get a more real show, go check out The Gray Area Before Me. If you're an early riser, 5 a.m., go check them out. The Gray Area on WESN Epic Strategies Network. Also, other great shows like The Old Man's Podcast with Dana, Joe, and Eric. John Gale program, The Real Conservative Talk with Michael Key. Slacker 82 Alpha and Teardrops of Hip Hop. And just remember, there's a lot of good music there as well. Some jazz, The Old Man's Blues Show. You even have some classical on a Sunday. If you like to hear some classical music on a Sunday, then go for it. You go to epicstrategiesnetwork.com and check out our schedule there. Also, we do require this. We did put up, if you feel the need, if you want to help us out with a donation to keep the station going, just give it a listen. Give it a listen and say, hey, you know what? I kind of like this. I want this to keep on going. Go to Epic Strategies Network, click the link on the top bar, and donate on PayPal Fundraiser and help keep the station going. There's a lot of costs that go into it. I put the goal at a low rate just to offset some of the costs, not all of it, but every little bit helps. And if you feel the need, go help us out a little bit. Help keep me doing what I enjoy doing, and that is bringing this alternative news and music and other shows to light. Just a little extra platform for them to express themselves. Also, I do want to say, it's Friday, so damn, enjoy your day. It's the weekend. I hope everyone has a great weekend. No, you're not going to catch me again, The Gray. See, now he's going to, it's either 1992 or it's this, you know. Yes. Now I have to be careful every time The Gray Area writes something in the chat. Because you never know. You never know nowadays. But it's perfect. So it's Friday. I hope everyone has a great, great Friday. Remember, enjoy your day, because you never know what's going to happen, especially in these crazy times in the future. Also, I gotta stop. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I greatly appreciate you and your time. Your time is valuable, and you chose to hang out with me for my coffee in the morning. So with that being said, I hope you guys have a great, great Friday. Enjoy the weekend. There's plenty of other shows you can go check out. Stay tuned for The Old Man's Podcast show with Dana, Joe, and Eric. And I'll catch you guys on Monday, 7 a.m., hopefully with no bad news. But we never know. You never know now. If you want some good news and good feel-good morning show, then go check out The Old Man's Podcast with Dana, Joe, and Eric. All right? So as I always like to end it, if you feel the need, put it on a shirt, make some money off of it, go ahead. This is my saying. Never mind. I'm just going to end it. Take care, guys. Peace.
Society, one cup at a time. Coffee with RW.
Oh, cafecito.
Pour yourself a cup and join us.
Es un cafecito.